So today, happy Mother's Day, everyone. Nice to have you here. We're going through the book of Acts, Acts 18, but today I thought we'd step out of that and we'd talk Mother's Day a little bit. So if you have your Bible, in 2 Kings is where we'll be, chapter 4. 2 Kings is probably, I'm going to guess, 10 books in from the front, maybe 11 or 12. But if you get to 1 and 2 Samuel, keep going. Kings is right behind that, right before Chronicles, I think, isn't it? Right before Chronicles. So 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to read a couple verses. So 2 Kings 4 verse 25 says, "And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel." So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?' And she answered, 'It is well.'" So the question as we go through this is, how in the world could it be possibly well for this woman? Because if you notice up a little bit in verse 20, it says, "When he," and I'll explain it in a second, "when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon, and then he died." So this mom's problem started earlier in the day when the little boy of hers went out to work in the fields with his dad, and it was harvest time, so dad's super duper busy. And the son, in the midst of working out there, screams out, "My head, my head." And at that point, this father did what any concerned dad would do. He sent him home to his mother. And then she held him all morning, helplessly, watching her son condition deteriorate until he died on her lap. Honestly, I can't imagine any woman suffering a more terrible fate. Because at breakfast, she had fixed her son a bowl of Cheerios or Frosted Flakes or whatever. And by lunch, he's dead on her knees. What an ordeal for this mom. And your heart breaks for this woman, even more when you realize that this boy was this woman's only son. She and her husband had tried to conceive for years. And after many prayers, a miracle happened. The baby was born shortly after they had befriended Elisha and offered him a room in their house. It was an act of kindness on their part, certainly a service to God. And Elisha appreciated the gesture. And if you look up a little higher in verse 13, he says, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you?'" And he's really talking to the woman at this point. He says in the middle of 13, "Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?" And she answers, "I dwell among my own people." And he goes on in 14, "Well, what can be done?" And Gehazi, the servant, says, "She has no son." So she says, "I don't need anything. We're just trying to be kind to you." And Gehazi says, "You know what? When I'm around her house, I don't see toys in the yard. I don't see anything out on the clothesline drying that's baby-wise. In fact, I notice that the couple drives a sports car, not a minivan. So clearly there's a problem here. It's just the two of them." So Elisha then returns the generosity and the hospitality of this couple by praying that God would give them a child. And he was obviously confident that God approved of his intentions, because in verse 16, he says to them, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." So he knows that God is going to honor his prayer. What a great promise. Can you imagine the joy in their hearts, the elation that they had a year later when this child was born? And yet, what she's dealing with now, as we read in our text later on now, the mom's full of grief and got to be confused, because you can imagine this woman's crying out, "God, he was my miracle. He was your gift to me. Why lay him in my arms only to snatch him away? And put yourself in that situation as you see it unfold. A woman convulsing in tears, slumped over this small, lifeless corpse. It's an awful picture. But after this woman gains her composure, she performs an amazing act of faith and resolve, because what she does is she takes the boy's body, she goes into Elisha's room, because he stayed there some, and then other times he'd be in other places, so Elisha was gone at this point. She went into his room, laid the boy's body on Elisha's bed, closed the door, and then calls for a donkey so that she can go see the prophet. Wherever he is, she wants to go see him. And so as she saddles up on the donkey, she tosses the servant the keys and says, step on it. We got to get there in a hurry. And before they leave, the husband asks, well, why are you going to go see Elisha? It's not a church day. Why are you going to church on a Wednesday or a Thursday? And if you notice in verse 23, her response to that question, here's him saying at the question in 23, why are you going to him today? Elisha, it's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Now that's an odd response. It's like she's answering another question, which brings us then to our text. Because when the grieving mom reaches Elisha, Gehazi, his servant, is sent out to greet her. And in 26, notice he asks her three questions. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And as I read the story, I would say that her answer has to be, of course it's not well. It's certainly not well with me, this mom. My heart's been ripped out. It's not well with my husband either, because she realizes she's married to an insensitive lug who won't leave work in a time of crisis. And of course it's not well with the child. His cold corpse is lying on the bed, being taken over by rigor mortis. If I had been this mom, and Gehazi had asked me this question, is it well? I might have hit him in the head. But notice the mom's amazing response in 26 we read at the end, 26. And she answers Gehazi the three questions. She says, it is well. So this morning, I'd like to ask all the mothers three questions. Mom, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And ladies, in the time we're going to walk through today, let's work through those three questions before you answer, okay? So first, if your mom, is it well with you this morning? Now, thankfully, most of you have probably never had a child die in your lap. But if you've been a mom for very long, you know motherhood has many, many taxing challenges. And I'm thankful that the closest Sandy and I has ever come to losing a child was when Shelby decided to play hide-and-seek in Kohl's without telling her mother. I, of course, was home asleep on the couch, so I had no idea what was going on. So not all mothers have lost a child. But all moms at times feel like they were losing their mind. No doubt you've lost your patience, maybe your sanity, definitely your energy, and possibly even your figure along the way. Here are a few entries in the Dictionary of Motherhood. Grandparents, the people who think your children are wonderful, even though they're sure you're not raising them right. Impregnable, a woman whose memory of labor is still vivid. Okay, come on. That was better than a little. Impregnable. Prenatal, when your life was still somewhat your own. Sterilize, what you do to your baby's first pacifier by boiling in water, and your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it. And then temper tantrum, what you should keep to a minimum so you don't upset the children. So is it well with you, Mom? That's the question. And perhaps you'd answer, you know, it's not really well with me right now. I'm tired. I'm burned out. I love my kids, but I have about concluded that I'm just not cut out for this mommy gig. I haven't lost a child to death, but I feel like I'm losing them in other ways. I've lost my kids to a hurried lifestyle that gives us little time to talk and to pray and to be together. I've lost them to ungodly friends and to worldly influences. There have been nights that I've tucked my kids in bed and closed the door and wonder if I'm losing them, or maybe they're losing me. So if the question was posed to you, is it well? That mom would probably have to respond, no, I'm not well. I wear a smile, but I'm tired. I'm not sure how much longer I can carry on. Mom, in a few minutes, I want to show you how this Shunammite woman was able to feel everything you're feeling, plus some, and yet still be able to respond, it's well. There's another question in our text, the second question. Is it well with your husband? Ladies, muffle your laughter there. Because I know you're wanting to say, are you kidding? Sure, it's well with my husband. Why wouldn't it be? He lives with his head in the sand. He doesn't know what we're going through as the rest of the family. My kids are lost. I'm dying inside. And he's at the office harvesting a paycheck. Is it well with my husband? Of course it's not well. He needs to get his act together. He needs to care for us instead of caring about his golf game, caring about his paycheck. There's another definition in the Dictionary of Motherhood, bottle feeding, an opportunity for daddy to also get up at 2 a.m. Well, my purpose isn't to bash dads. A child needs both a mom and a dad. I love dad. Hey, I am a dad. I'm just pointing out that no matter how hard a dad tries, there will be times when his wife is going to think that he's not doing enough. And mom, I think here's where you got to be a little careful. Men are like yarn. Push a string of yarn and it goes nowhere. To move a piece of yarn, it has to be pulled. And to cultivate a good man, a wife needs to learn how to pull the right strings. Ladies, to move your husband to be the man that God wants and the man that you need, push him along by your example and your encouragement. Men respond to coaxing and pulling more than being pushed by harsh words or angry tones or badgering. Years ago, I had a friend tell me, the best thing I could do for my kids is to love their mom. You know, that's true. It is true. But the reverse is just as valid. Mom, one of the best things you can do for your kids is to love and to honor and to support their father. Understand, you can't put a dad down in front of your kids and then expect your kids to respect him. Every mom does herself and her family a favor by building up her kids' dads. So, lady, is it well with your husband? Nah, I can't answer that question for you. But I can say this. If your husband is anything like Sandy's husband, the answer is no. He's a pile of problems. Thanks for not saying amen too loud, Sandy. And when you need him to help shoulder the burden, he's out in the field or out on the couch. But even if your husband's like Sandy's husband or the Shunammite's husband, in a little bit, we'll talk about how you can say of him, it is well, just like this. And then the last question that is asked, and I don't know what verse it is. Is it 26? Yeah, the last question, is it well with the child? Sometimes you wonder, don't you? Is it well with my kid? And so often we really don't know. Sometimes our kids are sweet and nice and thoughtful and respectful. And other times, not so much. Now, if you're married and you're yet to have children and you're contemplating having children, go to Cedar Point and take a wild ride on a roller coaster, and that's good preparation for parenthood because it's full of that, twists and turns and ups and downs. There was once a mother, she was hurried and hassled as she prepares dinner for her husband's family. And that night at dinner, when everybody's there, she asked her little daughter to say grace. And the daughter was reluctant. Mom, I don't know what to say. And the mom suggested, honey, how about you just say the last prayer you heard mommy pray? Oh, boy. And the little girl bowed her head. Oh, Lord, why did I invite all these people to dinner? A few more entries in the Dictionary of Motherhood. Defense. What you better have around the yard if you want to let the kids play outside. Look out. What it's too late for your kid to do by the time you scream it. Top bunk, where you'd never put your child wearing Superman jammies. 2-minute warning when the baby's face turns red and he or she begins to make those familiar grunting sounds. Nonverbal, teenagers especially, nonverbal, the ability to whine without words. And then whoops is an exclamation that translates roughly into get a sponge. So a mom knows well everything about her child. She knows well. She knows the child's ups and downs. She knows their mood. She knows their hormones. She knows the heart of her children. But this Shunammite woman, her son was dead, for goodness sakes. So you'd expect her to answer the exact last part of that question in 26 with, no, it's not well. And yet, this woman does something about her son's deadness. And in a sense, that's what I say every mother should do, because she quickly then goes to the person with the power to help. She was confident that God, through Elisha, could help her son. And now that she's done all that she can do, now that she's laid the outcome in the hands of Almighty God, she speaks in response to Gehazi's question at the end of 26, and she answered him and says, it is well. This mom's answer was a statement of her faith. And I believe three truths motivated this mother's confidence and faith in God. And if you're a mom, this is what I'd like for you to ponder and really grab a hold of, because I believe that they apply both to you and your kids. First, the child was promised. Second, God is powerful. And third, help was present. You realize that your child is as much a miracle as this mother's son, because every child's a miracle. The psalmist says we're all fearfully and wonderfully made by God. None of us are an accident. God has shaped each one of us and fashioned us in our mama's womb. Mom, no matter how far your children have strayed, God has a plan. No matter how old they are, how long they've strayed, God still has a plan for your son or your daughter. The second one, God was powerful. He has the power to restore a lost child. This chapter then goes on from here to describe how Elisha returns with this woman and God does restore life to her son. Mom, if the Lord can resurrect a child from the dead, he can deliver your child from distraction or dependence or defiance. Or even deception. Your child may be a wayward child, but he's still a promised child. Perhaps your kid's a miracle marred right now, but they're a miracle nonetheless. And this Shunammite woman, she did not hesitate. She immediately went to God for his help with her child. And mom, I encourage you, do the same thing. And then the third thing this mom really believed was that God's help was present. That's why she saddled this donkey. That's why she made a beeline straight to the man of God. I suggest, moms, that you do the very same thing. Don't delay. The Lord is ready to help you at your very point of need. For sure, God hears the prayers of our moms. So this mom believed all along that God would help her family, even in the midst of a tremendous crisis. That's why she answered it as well. In her heart of hearts, a heart of faith, all was well. It's crazy, isn't it, that she could have that kind of faith. But she knew that God would work. Even though her son had just previously sat lifeless in her lap, she knew God hadn't abandoned her. Because her son's illness was no surprise to God. She recognizes this is a test of my faith. Will she at this point trust God or succumb to her feelings of despair? And even if God chose not to heal her son, that meant her faith would say, God has a good purpose in this. I'm going to trust in him. So ladies, I would like to encourage you today, hold on to God's promises. Rely on God's power and rest and his ever-present help in time of need. In spite of how your situation appears today, believe. Believe in God. Believe in his promises, in his power, and his presence. So I would encourage you, rise up in faith and utter with this Shunammite woman her bold declaration of faith. It is well with my child. It is well with my husband. It is well with this mom. Amen? So I want to close with a story, okay? It's a true story. It's a true story. It's World War II, and the Holocaust is happening. It takes the lives of millions and millions of people. Well, this guy by the name of Solomon Rosenberg, his wife, his two sons, and his mom and dad were arrested and put in a Nazi concentration camp. It's a labor camp, and the rules there were very simple. As long as you can do your work, you're permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, then you are exterminated. Well, Rosenberg watched as his mother and father are marched off to their deaths. And he knew that next was going to be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. Now, every evening then, Rosenberg would come back into the barracks after his hours of labor and search for the faces of his family. And when he found them, they'd all huddle together, embrace one another, thank God for another day. Well, one day, Rosenberg comes back, and he didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovers his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping, praying. He says, Josh, tell me it's not true. And Joshua turns and says, it's true, Papa. Today, David wasn't strong enough to do his work. So they came for him. But where's your mother? Asked Rosenberg. Oh, Papa. When they came for David, he was afraid, and he cried. Mama said, there's nothing to be afraid of, son. And she took his hand, and she went with him. That's the love of a mother, isn't it? That's the love of a mother. No, I pray for you, moms. And I, too, pray that if there's any one of us who've never experienced the love of God that's as close as the love of a mother, that today you allow Jesus to be that close to you. And I pray that if you felt you've had to walk through the valley of death alone, that you'll recognize that there's a hand reaching out to you and saying to you, there's nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you. That's our God. Amen? That's our God. So our prayer for you is that you would recognize the one who's already gone through the valley of the shadow of death for you. And he's made it possible for you to live forever and ever with him. He invites you this morning into relationship with him. I pray you'd accept I pray you'd accept. Okay? So how about you stand? Let's pray together. And Chris will come up and we'll lead, have a song or two. Lord, we worship you for your goodness, Lord. Thanks for who you are. We thank you for this cool story kind of stuck in the Old Testament. There's a lot we can glean from this lady and how she responded when tragedy struck. And a lot of ways to define tragedy. And all of us have struggled with our kids choosing a path that isn't leading them to you. And in our hearts, it's tragic. Because we know where it ends. Not only in their day-to-day life of emptiness and hopelessness, but it ends being separated from you. And Lord, I pray we all, but especially the moms in the room, would respond to things as they come that are difficult, just like this Shunammite woman. That we in our heart could say, it is well. It's well with me. It's well with my husband. It's well with my kids. And Lord, we recognize that the source of that kind of strength only comes from you. So we pray, Lord, that you'd fill each one of our moms with your Holy Spirit, God. That you would just flood them. And that you'd have just to extend your grace to them and your goodness to them. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.